So we've just picked a one off today, and so we're in John 15. I want to read just the first 17 verses. Let me read that to us. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is God's word to us today. We're going to sing before we come and look at that together. Well, I invite you again to open your Bible to John 15. Like I say, I hope in here, Tim, will be some foundations for you as you start this new role as an assistant pastor. But actually, all of us, as we listen in today, all of us as we dive into this part of God's Word, it's got something crucial and vital to say to us wherever we are this morning, kind of on the scale, as it were, of trusting Jesus or not. And so I hope that we'll all give good attention to this. I particularly just want to focus this morning. There's so much in here. We could probably spend a whole term just looking at these words, but actually I just want to focus our attention this morning on verses 4 and verses 5, just those two verses. And so with those in front of us, let me pray. Let us seek God's help together, and then we'll think about them. Our God and our Father in heaven, we ask you, as the psalmist does, to send forth your light and your truth today. Father, please let them lead us. May they guide us to your holy dwelling. Father, may they take us to the place where you live. Father, we ask, please, that your word today would guide us on the right path, would guide us in the path of trusting Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, I guess maybe you're sick of it by now, but our news screens have been filled for the last few years with Brexit, hasn't it? And as we've journeyed that as a country, and we're still in the middle of it, really, many of you will remember the Remain campaign. Do you remember that? This very kind of big campaign, a group of people in this country who were urging us and petitioning us to remain in Europe. That was the whole thrust of the campaign, fighting against Brexit. And they had a catchphrase, if you remember it, and it was this: Britain stronger in Europe. That was the Remain campaign, and I'm sure we all encountered it in different ways. And as she listened, they gave reason upon reason why we should stay connected. Reason upon reason why we are stronger in than out. The Remain campaigners worked really hard to persuade us that in was best. Now listen, I'm aware that even as I raise that, I don't want to get political this morning. I'm raising it because actually, we probably all sit on different sides of that in a room this size. But I raise it this morning because I want us to think about the energy which those people had to get us to remain. And this morning, I want to introduce you to another Remain campaign. A more worthy Remain campaign. Tim, as you set out being an assistant pastor here, this is a campaign that you have to be signed up to. It is crucial for you to be part of this campaign. For all of us, this is a campaign that we have to listen into. We have to hear it, and we have to be signed up to it because it's mega important. And so what is this Remain campaign? Well, I'm sure you've worked it out. But look at what Jesus says. John 15, verse 4, he says this, "Remain in me." This is Jesus's Remain campaign. This is a call to disciples. So you picture the scene. It's these final hours before Jesus' death. He has his disciples gathered around him, those who trust him, those who believe that he is the Son of God, those who are pinning all their hopes on him. And he campaigns to them. He petitions them, "Remain in me." To remain carries the idea of continuing with Jesus. It's a call for disciples to continue with Jesus in the very way that they started their relationship with Jesus. When John, the man who wrote this gospel, kind of unpacks this idea, really what he's talking about here is belief. It is faith. It is that trusting dependence on Jesus. In fact, if we were to go to the very end of John's gospel, John tells us why he writes. He says, "These things of the gospel are written that you may believe," or the language there, you have a little footnote, "may continue to believe, may remain in Christ," in Jesus. Believe that he's the Son of God, the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John, who writes this gospel, who records these words of Jesus, is part of this Remain campaign. See, at its heart, when remaining with Jesus is continuing in a dependent relationship with Jesus. Jesus was a word master, and he gives us a picture to help us understand something of what he means. He paints the picture of a vine and branches that are connected to this vine. That's his picture, his visual for us to understand what it means to remain, to be joined in, to be entwined, to be kind of wrapped up with Jesus. And actually in these words, if we're sort of saying, well, what is Jesus really campaigning for here? When he says, "remain in me," what does he actually mean? What does it look like? Well, he kind of unpicks it a bit in the verses that we read. So just have a look with me at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, "If you remain in me," and then the image changes, "and my words in you." To remain in Jesus means continue to believe the very words that Jesus says. Words of life, words of truth, words of promise. To remain in Jesus as he campaigns. What's he campaigning to us with this morning? He's saying you've got to make time for what he said. You get to know someone through their words, don't you? And we've got to make time for Jesus' words. His words have to dwell in us. Friends, can I ask you this morning, do you make time for the Bible? Do you make time for the words of Jesus to dwell in you? Is that how you remain? Tim, as you set out as an assistant pastor, to remain in Christ will mean you have to make time for his words. You have to have his words dwelling in you. Look again at verse 9. Here's another way that Jesus means when he says, "remain in me." Verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. To remain in Jesus means to continue in dependence upon the great love of Jesus. That's how we start the Christian life, isn't it? The start of following the Lord Jesus begins with a dependence on his love. The great love that he showed to us at the cross. So you can look at verse 13. He spells it out for us. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life, his life, for their friends. That is what Jesus did at the cross. He showed the greatest love that could ever be shown. He laid down his life for his disciples. And he says, if you're going to remain in me, what am I petitioning you for? You remain dependent upon that act of love. You remain unmoved from Jesus and his death on the cross as the place where we find hope and forgiveness and life. To remain in Jesus means to remain in daily dependence on his love that he showed to us at the cross. It also means to remain dependent on his ongoing love. If he loved us that much at the cross, he will not withhold his love from us every day. He's already given us the most he can give us. And as Jesus campaigns to his disciples, as he says, remain in me, he means remain in my words, listen to what I say, but he means never move far from my love. Never move far from dependence on what I did for you at the cross. And look at verse 10. Again, what does he mean by remain in me? Well, verse 10, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. To remain in Jesus means we don't just listen to what he says. We don't just say we depend on his love, but we walk his ways. That's what it means. That's what he's campaigning for. Remain in me. Keep my words in you. Keep dependent on my love on the cross and walk my ways. That is what he is campaigning for. On that evening before he died, that is what he stood before his disciples and campaigned them for. Remain in me. Friends, as we sit here this morning with John 15 in our lap, what is Jesus campaigning from us? Remain in me. Tim, as you set out as a pastor, if as it were, Jesus could speak these words directly to you, what would he be campaigning for you? Remain in me. In fact, it's more than that, Tim. You've joined the Remain campaign today because actually you have become part of those who will be petitioning others to remain. Part of your work today is to help us to do what Jesus campaigns us to do here, to remain in Jesus, to walk in his ways, to live in dependence upon his cross, and to love his words. That's what he's campaigning for. Friends, Jesus campaigns to all of us who are followers of Jesus, remain in me. That's his campaign. That's the Remain campaign. Now, why does he do that? Why does he campaign to us in that way? Well, forget Brexit for a moment. Sorry, this is going to go badly wrong. But forget Brexit for a moment. And I want you to think about Jexit, which is actually this idea of leaving Jesus behind. We're so prone to want independence from him, to leave him behind and to strive for independence. That's Jexit, as it were. And it is that constant temptation to strive, for example, for forgiveness. You know how when you do something wrong, you know that reaction you have of kind of wanting to put it right and make it up to people? And we're so often like that with God. You know, when you realize that perhaps you haven't loved God as you should, you kind of go on this kind of auto drive. I could just put it right if I did this and that. And what is that doing? When we fall into that, we're leaving Jesus behind, and we're saying, no, I can work forgiveness out of my own energy, rather than relying on Jesus. Or maybe followers of Jesus this morning, it's that temptation or attempt to put things that are wrong in our life to death, to one side, in our own strength. Maybe you're struggling here with a sin that you repeat over and over again. And you're saying, oh, look, I can do this. I'm strong enough to do this. I can stop this thing happening in my life. What is that kind of behavior? That's Jexit behavior. We've got to learn to depend, to remain in Jesus and his strength to help us say no to the things that he tells us are wrong. Or perhaps you're passionate about the mission of Jesus and you long to see other people believe in him and you set out on this mission, but in your own strength, relying upon your own intelligence and your own clever arguments rather than on his grace. Tim, for you, as you set out as a pastor, the temptation will be to lead and to pastor and to help others and care for others out of your own strength. But actually, we've got to remain in Jesus. You see, Jesus campaigns to us, friends. You know, think about this. Why did Jesus need to say this to his disciples hours before he died? Maybe because of the discouragements of the cross? Maybe because he knew life was going to get hard for them? And maybe because he knew their hearts, that they're prone to wander away, to strive for independence, to do things how they want to do it. And so Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me. Or perhaps if it was to have a catchphrase, he would say, disciples, you are stronger in me. And really, as part of his campaign in this text, he gives two reasons. And I just want to kind of unpick these really. He gives two reasons why we should do that. Here's reason one. Remain in Jesus because without him, we are nothing, without him. So just look with me at verse 5. Let me put up the words there. Jesus says this in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now in this very simple picture, Jesus is actually communicating something profound. It's a very visual thing. Lots of people in the society that he was teaching this into would have completely got that picture. And yet it carries such a depth that those listening would have got it. Those who were living within the Jewish community would have got the weight of this image. This is loaded with Old Testament imagery. See, in the Old Testament, that this big bit of the Bible, if you're newer to the Bible, the picture of the God's people in Psalm 80, places like Isaiah 5, the people of God, those in relationship with God, were described as a vine, a growing, flourishing, fruitful vine. But a vine that over time failed to grow the fruit that it was made to grow. The fruit of obedience wasn't there. The fruit of love for God wasn't there. The fruit of bringing the nations into relationship with God just wasn't there. And so when Jesus turns up and he says, if you cast your eye up to verse 1, here it is again. He says, I am the, what does he say there? True vine. What's he actually saying? And when he says in verse 5, I am the vine, he identifies himself as the one who is everything God's people should have been, all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way through the Old Testament, but never were. More than this, in these words, he identifies himself as the one who alone can bring us into God's people. If you want to be part of the vine, if you want to be part of God's people, you've got to go to him because he is the true vine and we are the branches. You see, we are so prone, we're so arrogant in our hearts, if I can say that. We're so arrogant that we're prone to vine-itis, which is that we think we're the vine. We think we're the source of everything. We can put it right. But Jesus says, no, I am the vine and you are the branches. We need to remember that when it comes to being part of the people of God, when it comes to being part of the loved and forgiven and restored people of God, we are dependent branches. We are not the vine. We must remain in Jesus because we are nothing without him. We are branches, branches that left on their own will wither up and die. Just look at verse 6. I know this feels a bit heavy, but this is what Jesus says. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. See, we must remain in Jesus because we are nothing without him. We cannot be part of the restored, forgiven, eternal, loved people of God without him, apart from him. See, maybe today, as you sit here, Jesus' call to you today isn't remain in me, but it's join me. Join yourself to me as the only one who can give you a place in the vine, in the people of God, saved, loved, forgiven, having a place for eternity. Maybe today Jesus is saying to you, join me. Connecting yourself to the one who lived the life that we can never live, who loved God and produced the fruit that we never could, and he died the death that we deserve so that we could become part of his people, that we can become part of the flourishing and the growing and the fruitful vine here on earth. And this morning, if by faith in Jesus you are a branch attached to the vine, then his words to you is remain in the vine. You don't start becoming part of the people of God by trusting Jesus and then kind of go it on your own. You only stay part of the people of God as you stay connected to him. See, look again at verse 5. Just want to mark the words up on the screen. Look what he says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he doesn't mean nothing at all. There are plenty of people in our world who want nothing to do with Jesus, who do plenty of good things. But what he's talking about here is you can have nothing eternal. You can't do anything that lasts. You can't be part of the people of God. Tim, remain in Jesus because you are a branch, not a vine. Actually, as a pastor, you are as dependent upon Jesus for your salvation as everybody else is in this room. We need to rely on him. We need to trust him as the one who's restored us to the eternal people of God. And friends, wherever you are this morning, if you're not yet joined in, can I say join Jesus this morning? Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we have no place. If you are, remain in him and work jolly hard at remaining in him. We can do nothing. Second reason that we should stay in Jesus is that we can only be fruitful with him. A few years ago, Andy Grimm, who's sitting over there, gave me and my children a clipping from one of his tomato plants in his garden. I think that was a fatal thing to do because I am a professional plant assassin. But anyway, he gave us this clipping from a tomato plant, and he even got it started for us. He nurtured it into life, and then he made the fatal mistake of bringing it round to the Howard House. But we were very excited. You know, we got this grow bag thing that he told us to buy, and we even bought some tomato food. And we were, not tomato ketchup, by the way, but we bought proper kind of feed. And we were excited. We had this plant in our garden. The kids were excited. We watered it. We watched it. And not like all the time, because that would just be a bit weird. You know, is it growing? No, I don't know. But we came back to it day after day, and we were excited. But the whole purpose of having this plant in our garden was that it might grow tomatoes. We weren't just interested in it because it was just what it was. We wanted tomatoes. Its purpose was to grow fruit. The whole purpose of a plant, a tomato plant that Andy kindly gave us, was that we might eventually have some tomatoes. And sure enough, even with my track record, eventually a tomato appeared. It didn't grow many more than that, but it did have some fruit. It did have a tomato. Now, in a similar way, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, we are meant to grow fruit. We are meant to bear much fruit. Just let me put some words up on the screen. You see them there. It says in verse 5, doesn't it? Look with those words. He will bear much fruit. If someone stays connected to Jesus, they will bear fruit, a variety of fruit, much fruit. You see, just as apples grow on an apple tree and tomatoes grow on a tomato plant, if I can put it like this morning, Jesus' fruit should grow on the follower of Jesus. That is our purpose. Did you know that? Look at verse 8. If you're not convinced, Jesus spells it out. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. The fruit that we bear shows that we're connected to Jesus. The fruit that we bear brings glory and praise to God. It shows that we're connected to the vine. We should want to bear fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? You see, it would have been pretty miserable of us, I don't know, if we'd taken this tomato plant from Andy and just, well, we don't care if it grows tomatoes or not. We just like it for what it is. We'd be a bit miserable, wouldn't we? We had a tomato plant because we wanted fruit. Do you want to grow fruit? Do you want your life to show that you're a disciple of Jesus? Tim, as you set out as an assistant pastor, do you want to be, if I could put it like this, a fruity pastor? That probably doesn't quite work, does it? But do you want to be a fruitful pastor? That's a better way of putting it. I hope you do, to see fruit in your ministry. And what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about? Because again, it's picture language. What kind of fruit do you want to grow on your lives? Well, a lot of people, by the way, about this passage, spend a lot of time talking about what the fruit is, and people seem to be arguing about it. I'm just going to take a very simple view, which is that I don't think we need to pin it down. Actually, I think Jesus talks about a variety of things in this passage that is the fruit that grows in people's lives. So look at verse 10. This has got to be some fruit, hasn't it? If you obey my commands, there's a fruit of remaining in Jesus, which is that we grow obedience. Our lives bear the fruit of people who want to do what Jesus says. Verse 11, what else is there? There's joy. There is a genuine joy that grows to someone connected to the Lord Jesus, even in hard times. Look at verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Love is the fruit of remaining in Jesus. As we connect ourselves to the one who first loved us and we experience that unconditional, incredible love, it grows fruit in our lives of being able to love one another that way. Do you want to grow that fruit? I do. And look at verse 16. The fruit here it seems to be talking about mission. As he sends the disciples off and he says, go tell people about Jesus. The fruit there is other people who believe in Jesus. Bearing fruit, I think, includes every product in your life of remaining in Jesus. From character to obedience, to seeing others saved. It is all the fruit that he's talking about. But here's the point. Look at verse 4 with me, will you? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Whatever these fruits are, all of these things, you cannot do unless you remain in Jesus. Or to put it positively, remaining in Jesus will make you fruitful. So you don't leave church this morning and saying, I must be more fruitful. I must be more fruity. What you leave church this morning is saying, I've got to remain in Jesus. Because if you remain in him, you will be fruitful. Because you will be connected to the source of life and health. Or to put it positively, really, Jesus will make you, I can't say fruity because that's not a helpful phrase. He will make you fruitful. Tim, as you set out on being a pastor, remain in Jesus. Because it's only as you remain in Jesus will you see fruit in the work that you do. Fruit of your character being changed. Fruit of others believing in the Lord Jesus. Fruit on other people's lives. You see, only in verse 16 it describes it as fruit that will last. Friends, are you still with me? This is Jesus' remain campaign. He says, remain in me. Don't be moved from me. And if you're not yet in him, join him. Why? Because apart from him, we're nothing. Apart from him, we have no place in the eternal saved people of God. But apart from him, we can also bear no fruit. And so I want to encourage you this morning to remain in him. Tim, as you set out to serve this local church, let me urge you to remain in Jesus. To make it a priority every day to have his words in you, to walk in obedience to him, to grow in your love of him as you depend upon his love for you. And for all of us this week, Jesus stands before us in these words and he says to us, remain in me. Do what it takes. Work hard this week to stay in. Disciple, you are stronger in him. Can I read these words just as we finish? Let me put them up on the screen one more time. Let me read these words and then we'll pray together. Remain in me, Jesus says, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for these words of Jesus. Father, thank you for the truths that they contain. Father, we thank you that he was the one who laid down his life so that people like us, as we join ourselves to him in independent trust, can become part of your eternal people. Father, thank you that he came into this world to show the greatest love that anyone can show, to lay down his life for his friends. And Father, we want to thank you too that Jesus is the one who can make us fruitful. Thank you that he is the one who can make us everything that we were made to be but struggle so much to do. Thank you that he is the one who helps us to love in a sacrificial way. Thank you that he is the one who helps us to be obedient where we struggle so much to do what you say. Father, thank you so much that he is the one who helps us to listen to your words and to trust in him. Oh, Father, we ask, please, that you would help those of us here who have trusted Jesus to remain in him. Father, with the many temptations we have for pressures on the world or our own struggles for independence, Father, please would you keep us remaining in him. And Father, for today, for those perhaps who haven't joined themselves to him, please would today be a day where they join themselves to Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.